Weird Medicine is an extreme language show that may not be appropriate for all listeners.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo,
yo. Take a scalpel.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
I do the vertebrae.
Yo, yo.
I need some suction.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
In the keratin.
Yo,
yo. I bring the crash car.
Yo, ho, ho, yo.
From the biscuits and gravy counts as a vegetable capital of the world, it's Weird Medicine. The Addendum, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of radio. I'm podcasting. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, double vasectomy Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Steve.
And we've got in the studio his lovely wife, Ashley.
Howdy.
Who does not have a radio or name, but, well, you have a name.
I do have a name.
But you don't have one of those weird board names.
No.
But she is Duck Duck Douche on Twitter. And you can follow her now. Are you tweeting or are you just in the chat room?
I am getting ready to get on the chat room.
Okay, so she's going to be in the chat room on Ustream. And if you're listening to this on Stitcher, good for you. Thank you very much.
I'm really enjoying Stitcher.
Are you? Yeah. Stitcher is cool.
I like it.
And the thing I like about it, is so far, it's still kind of like a startup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, it's streaming radio. But the player is very simple, low overhead, and it you can stream cool content anywhere. Joe Rogan, Jay Moore, Weird Medicine. I don't know what it, you know. I haven't explored the whole thing, but there's a bunch of CNN people and some NPR stuff, and there's a couple of like 1 minute podcasts and stuff like that in there. So go to stitcher.com/weirdmedicine. And you can download the player and check our asses out on Stitcher. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we're also on iTunes, and then you can go to weirdmedicine.com. We're working on a new website now that we've committed to doing these podcasts. So we've got Daniel from Stout Labs working on the new website.
How's Daniel doing? I haven't seen him
in a
while.
He's doing good, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, so
he's a really smart, I mean, for a guy who does... you know, web work in Upper East Tennessee. He's one of the smartest dudes I've ever met, and he can read code like an MF-er. I mean, he's amazing.
Yeah. So it's the Matrix when he looks at it. It's
yeah.
Just all.
Yeah. Yeah. And he plowed through a bunch of code just to fix one thing on our website, but it took him 2 minutes to do it. And so it was like, dude, you're our dude from now on. So he's right, working on our new website. So, and that'll be at weirdmedicine.com eventually. So hello, Ustream viewers. You can also view this at our website at weirdmedicine.com and click the link that says View Live Broadcast. So, all right.
Yeah.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the internet. And if you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you just can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. 423-343-8884. That's 423-DIE-TUTI. And visit our website, weirdmedicine.com. And there's a link there to the Weird Medicine drugstore, which has links to Citracell and other things that we talk about every time that should be sponsors of the show but aren't, but will sort of be sponsors of the show if you go buy your Citracell from them.
Yeah.
And also there's merchandise at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. And look, you don't have to buy any of that stuff. It's okay. It's fine. We just put that crap up there so I can buy it and give it away to people. But there is the Dr. Steve Bristol Stool Scale, and we sell about one of those a day.
Really? That's awesome.
It's bizarre.
Well, who doesn't need a reference to the Bristol Stool Scale?
That's right. And for people who don't know what that is, it's a way that you can grade your own poop. So while you're drinking your coffee, taking a dump, in the morning. You can grade your stool by looking on your cup, so you can get that at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. And they've got some that have my stupid picture on them, and then there's some that are just Bristol stool scales, which if somebody isn't a fan of XM105 or of this podcast, they can you can just give them one that doesn't have my dumb picture on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, and it just has a picture of fecal matter.
Well, you know what I would
in
do?
In lots of different states of whatever.
Of mushiness.
Yes, right.
No, what I would do is I would use my Bristol stool scale mug every morning to take my Citrusil. And then you can there see you your improvement on a daily basis right there.
You are a damn genius, my friend. We are not your medical providers, so take anything you hear on this show with a grain of salt. Consult your doctor, nurse practitioner, medical provider, whatever. Go to Big Kev's Geek Stuff and give him $1 or $2. He had all of his equipment ripped off, and I know how
Steve.
I would feel. Oops. Yeah, man. Hang on just a second.
This is James from Utah.
I know how I would feel if all of my...
I think you just hung up on James.
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay.
I know how I would feel if all of our equipment got ripped off. So
right.
Please help him out. He's he used to be on the same channel as us. We did the first Weird Medicine was done half. The second 90 minutes was us, and the first 90 minutes was Big Kev. So our shows go way back.
Yeah.
And help the poor guy out. Anyway, all right, let's get these calls going.
I've got a question about allergies. I never had allergies growing up, and I started getting allergies about 4 years ago. And at first, it was just in the springtime, and so I started taking Claritin. And then after a while, that didn't do anything, so I switched to Zyrtec. And now I have to take Zyrtec year-round, or else I get really bad allergies. And I want to know why that is. Also, if I try not taking Zyrtec for a few days, I'll get really bad headaches and really, really bad allergies. And is that a conspiracy by the drug company to make withdrawal symptoms similar to allergies? You'll keep taking their drugs, even in the middle of the wintertime in Utah where there's no pollen flying around? Let me know. Bye.
Okay, no,
it's James from Utah.
Whoops.
I've got a question about allergies. I never had allergies.
There we go. Technical difficulties. Anyway, it's not a conspiracy. It just, Zyrtec really works.
Yeah.
And one of the issues with Zyrtec, of course, is that it is an antihistamine. It can be drying. It can cause nasal dryness. It can cause dryness of the mouth. And so one thing that you can do is if you don't want to take Zyrtec, and it can also be sedating too to a certain extent. It's supposedly a non-drowsy antihistamine, but there is some data out there that some people get drowsy with Zyrtec. So you can buy it over the counter, which is pretty cool. If you find that antihistamines are not your thing because you're having either rebound symptoms or you're getting a lot of dryness of the mouth or the mucous membranes, you can try another medication called Singulair, which is usually used for asthma, but is a great, great drug for people with chronic allergies. And it doesn't have any adverse side effects that I'm aware of. And I take it every day, and it's absolutely changed my life. So something to think about. Most ear, nose, and throat guys will start you on an antihistamine, a long-acting once-a-day antihistamine. And if that doesn't work, put you on nasal steroids. And then if that doesn't work, you know, consider allergy shots or surgery, even if you've got a mechanical problem. But I think it's Singulair is, it's also called Montelukast, a drug that is very often overlooked by doctors and something you can say, hey, you know, could I try this? All right, we've got a call, 302 area code. You're on Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve, John, double vasectomy, Todd, and Ashley. Go.
Hey, it's Dominic the Vinegar Guy.
Hey, how are you? You know, I had actually put your other number in, and so I was expecting it to come up with your name. But anyway, so what's going on, dude? Let's go back a little bit and talk about this.
Yes.
Somebody had called in maybe last week or the week before and said, is vinegar good for acid reflux? And I said, not only no, but, fuck no. And, right. And I got a voicemail from Dominic saying, you know, don't tell me why that it doesn't work because it's putting more acid in the stomach and it's acid. Tell me really why it doesn't work if you think it doesn't work. And my only thing was, well, crap, it is because you're putting more acid in the stomach. So Dominic has been trying this for quite some time. And give us sort of the background of your taking of vinegar for your reflux symptoms, Dominic.
You want to hear why it started or why I do it?
Yeah, how did you get into doing that instead of doing the regular Tums and baking soda and stuff that other people try?
Well, I guess years ago, I lost like 30 pounds in a month. Something crazy happened in my stomach. I had a hiatal hernia, very slow digestive tract, and I developed insane acid reflux or heartburn. So I was on a couple medications for it. Propulsid, I believe, was one of them.
Yeah,
and Prilosec, and you know, I had basically every other medication possible. But I guess the one that I was taken off the market for reasons of death and a couple
Propulsid.
Other things.
Propulsid. Yes, you can still get it, but you have to make a special application to the FDA, and it's a special use thing. And what it did was, as I recall, caused this thing called prolonged QT syndrome and caused, you know, fatal arrhythmias in people. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So when I hear that, that kind of scared the shit out of me altogether, and I kind of warded off pills more or less altogether. But years went by, and I was taking these medications and basically just dealing with it and waking up with horrific heartburn, throwing up in the middle of the night, just terrible. So my wife is a pharmacist, and I ended up getting that book by Kevin Trudeau, the Miracle Cures They Don't Want You to Know About, or whatever that
right.
book is.
Because doctors are trying to suppress all kinds of good information from people. I know.
I got it kind of as a joke just to sit around the house for my wife to see. But I started reading it, and I came across this thing that said heartburn and the antacid is kind of a myth. And, you know, I'll just go into it. It says what is actually happening is that antacids are taking away acid from the stomach, where, and this is their theory, that there's not enough acid in the stomach to break down what's in there.
Yep.
So by adding
there's truth
a
to
tablespoon
that.
Or a tablespoon or two of this the apple cider vinegar, which is raw and unfiltered, it's this the sediment in it is what really works. It's like the, I guess we're all the antibody or whatever. I don't know about all this medical jargon and crap, but I said, shit, you know, let me give it a try. It was $3.50 for a giant bottle that lasted me months. And here's the thing. I woke up one night with horrific heartburn, went right to the cupboard, took a swig of this, and it was gone in seconds.
Wow. Huh.
So every time I get heartburn, I take it and it's gone in seconds. And if I go out and I'm going to eat, you know, something that causes heartburn, I take it beforehand, and it just stops it. It's truly a miracle thing. My brother started taking it. My wife actually started telling people at her pharmacy to take it, and they're having positive results. I mean, it's just, it's amazing how weird it sounds to add acid to a stomach that has an acid problem,
right.
But it works flat out, and I swear by this stuff, and I tell everybody. So when I heard you, Dr. Steve, 2 weeks ago, I went, no!
I am a man enough to admit that I don't know everything. And although it doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't. That doesn't mean that it doesn't work. But this is how you find out. You can't do it with anecdotal evidence. You know, it worked for me. It worked for my friends. It worked, you know. This is what we need to do is we need to do a double-blind, placebo-controlled study. And I went on the internet. I know you did too, and I could not find one out there where anybody had ever actually studied this. Which means
I found one commemorative study. Like everything this one guy found, put it together, and it was very scarce.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of have a weird theory about that. And I mean, I don't know how strongly anybody feels about the FDA, but I don't trust them at all.
But it's not the FDA.
Yeah, who knows what's out there for natural cures that, you know, supposedly, you know, in quotes, they can't make money off of. So
that's what it is.
And yada, yada, yada. So
it's not the FDA, because the FDA you know, is required to look at every application that comes in. It's that nobody has applied for an application, because who's going to apply for an application to make vinegar a patented medication? They're just not going to do it. So, but there could be, you know, NIH could fund a study where, and it would cost $200. You know, I could do this study for a couple hundred bucks. You get you would have to mask the vinegar so that people couldn't detect it on their tongue. So you'd have to put it in capsules or something, some binder or something that they would swallow. And then you have to give them placebos. You give 100 people the vinegar, and they all have to have reflux symptoms. And then they grade it before and after. And then you give 100 people sugar pills, and they have to grade it before and after. And if there's a statistically significant difference between the two, either positive or negative, then you can make a statement about it. But I'm not, you know, I came down on it pretty hard and said, it's bullshit. But I'm going to retract that and say that I don't know everything, and that until somebody does a placebo double-blind controlled study, that the science is not there. It's open. It's an open issue. And the thing is, this wouldn't be the first time that this kind of thing has happened. When I can't remember the guy's name, but when he postulated that bacteria were causing ulcers in people's stomachs, all the gastroenterologists laughed at him until they detected Helicobacter pylori in people's stomachs that have ulcers, and proved that it actually is a pathogen in humans. So, you know, people thought it was hilarious that somebody would even think that it was bacteria. But now we test everybody when you do an endoscopy for this bacteria. The other thing that you said that I wanted to throw out there to give you what you're saying some validity is that when you use antacids like Tums, this is one reason why I don't recommend Tums. Are you okay, dude?
I'm good. I'm outside, kind of in the city area. I'm all right.
when if you take Tums, it's calcium carbonate, and calcium acts like a hormone on the stomach to cause the stomach to produce more acid. And so when you take Tums, you're decreasing the immediate amount of acid in the stomach, but then the Tums will then turn around and cause the stomach to produce more acid, and you end up having to take more Tums. And I've had people taking 2-3 packs of Tums a day and then ended up with kidney stones.
Exactly.
So that's not a good way to go. The medication.
My brother was the same way. He had a roll of either Rolaids or Tums in his pocket at all times.
Yep.
And so I was like, dude, just give this a try. And he hates vinegar. I mean, I can swig vinegar, so this works for me easily. But he puts like honey in it, and there's a certain like mix, he said, that makes it taste like lemonade, so some shit, you know, whatever works for you. But
yeah,
he takes it for, he has heartburn. He actually takes it for his allergies. He said that helps. I mean, all kinds of shit.
I have the worst.
It oxygenates your blood. I mean, everything.
I'm going on record saying the oxygenation of the blood is malarkey. But I tell you what, I have the worst reflux of anybody I know, and I will try this myself, and I'll report back to you. Again, if it doesn't work for me, it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It just means that for me it didn't, and it's not generalizable. You know, we've got to do – someone has got to do a double-blind placebo-controlled study before we can say one way or the other. But until then, I'm glad it's working for you, man.
And before I end, what you need to look out for is not the crystal clear, you know, filtered stuff. You want it as
the cloudy stuff
as possible, because all that gunk in there – is what does
that's
it.
The good
it's
stuff.
Okay. The mother of the vinegar or something crazy. Stuff.
Okay. All right.
Give it a whirl, Doc.
We'll absolutely do it, man. I appreciate your input too, and thanks for keeping me straight.
Pleasure.
All right. We'll see, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, I read an old book that I found in a pile of old books a long time ago called Vermont Folk Medicine.
Yep.
And they recommended apple cider vinegar and honey for everything that ails you.
Right.
And they claimed everything in the world on it. They actually said that if you did
lose weight.
Yeah,
that's what they say. Okay. Apple cider vinegar.
Well, yeah, they said that if you took it every day, you would acidify the pH in your system, and bacteria couldn't live in that environment and all sorts of stuff.
Bacteria doesn't live in the environment anyway. There's no bacteria in your bloodstream unless you have a life-threatening illness. Mm-hmm. And acidifying your urine will indeed decrease the number of urinary tract infections. There are women who have frequent urinary tract infections who will take cranberry juice every day. Yeah. And it decreases the urinary tract infections by about 50%. So there are some benefits to it. Now, if you acidify your urine and you're prone to getting kidney stones, you're going to be more likely to get more kidney stones. So there's a downside to it, too. All right. We've got a phone call from a 423 area code. You're on Weird Medicine with Double Vasectomy Todd and Ashley and Dr. Steve.
Well, I thought Jeebic was in there, too, there, Steve. It's Trucking James. Hiya, buddy.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm well, man. Get the endoscopic fundoplication. Get her done.
Yeah, I know.
I had it done in 1997 or 8 or so, and my reflux is almost non-existent anymore.
Well, let me explain to everybody what you're talking about. This is where they go in, and one of the problems with people with reflux like I have is we've got a hiatal hernia. And that's where the part of the stomach that is supposed to be below the diaphragm, which is all of the stomach, now half of it is above the stomach. So, and it goes through this hole in the diaphragm called the hiatus, which is where the term hiatal hernia comes from. And it starts sliding up and down, and that natural valve that you would get from the esophagus and the stomach sort of kinking off at that hole in the diaphragm is now lost. And what they'll do with this fundoplication is they will take a fold of stomach tissue and wrap it around the esophagus to make a new valve. Hmm. And did you have yours done percutaneously, or how was yours done, James?
Subcutaneously, they went in, they made basically a smiley face in my belly, and or maybe not, maybe it's more of a flat smiley, but whatever. two incisions, yeah, see, I'm a hack too. Two incisions up towards the bottom of my rib cage, one through about the center of my diaphragm, and then I think that was it.
Okay.
I think there was one or two others on each side of my belly. They reached up and did that.
I've known people who.
It's your show.
Thank you, my friend. I know people who have had this done and have had really good results with it. I also have had patients that had it done where they basically couldn't swallow anymore and their food was piling up on top of the fundoplication and they had to jump up and down just to get the food to go from their esophagus into their stomach. So I've always been nervous about doing it myself. Just because I hate anything that just changes your anatomy permanently. But, you know, I'm glad it worked for you, man. And, you know, I'm definitely thinking about it. It's one of those.
The only downside I've had with this so far, honestly, you know, all bullshit aside, is when I get sick nowadays, if I contract the flu or, you know, uber drunk or anything like that, I can't barf. I can no longer vomit.
Oh.
So if I hear somebody hacking it up on the radio, I can't vomit.
Wow.
Oh wait.
I would think that might
what
be
I do
a,
there.
I would think that might be a good thing. I don't know. I hate to vomit.
Don't you like the feeling of that release
when you finally puke?
Yeah.
It does feel
that's a
really
good feeling.
There is a relief factor and that's why I have to be extremely careful if I start drinking. These days I don't drink to get drunk anyway. I'm 41. I mean, you know, those days of my life are over.
Yeah.
These days I drink for a buzz, you know, drink for effect.
Right.
But if I do overdo it these days, I now have to force myself to stay awake and guzzle water.
Okay. Cause you know, at some point you're going to get a puke bug. It's going to happen, or you're going to get food poisoning or something. I guess what happens with you is when you go to retch, it goes squirting out your duodenum into your small intestine.
Mm. You know, pretty much.
Fluid's got to go
in. Retrograde barf. There you go.
Fluid's got to go in the direction of least resistance. So.
Yeah, but it builds up a lot more resistance in him, doesn't it? Yeah. Isn't that going to be painful?
It might. Next time you get a puke bug, let us know what exactly happens.
Yeah, call us while you're trying to puke.
That's going to be fun. Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, right
now.
The old toilet there, that'll work.
Regular.
And Oh yeah, the shots in my keister for the testosterone.
Yes,
they're working, buddy.
Okay,
working.
Good. Good man. Now, don't forget that if you get tired of getting the shots, you can find a compounding pharmacy who will make gel for you for about $30 a month. So, you know,
down from $300, anything's better than that.
Yeah, no kidding. And regular listeners to the show will recognize James as the guy that introduced eSTEM to the show.
I remember. I got to apologize to everybody who's currently on staff at the moment. I'm sorry for bringing douche chills when I said I made cumsies. I'm sorry.
Listen, here's the thing. That wasn't nearly as bad as P.A. John exposing his junk to everybody in the studio. And
not
G-Vac.
Me. I didn't see it.
I thought G-Vac.
And Todd's thumb slipped.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, quote unquote slip.
Yeah,
but G-Vac wouldn't even look. G-Vac wouldn't even look at in his general direction.
He wouldn't. He was totally creeped out.
Yeah,
he's
totally
in the chat room right now.
Oh, is he?
Now.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
G-Vac, hey right. buddy,
he needs to be here.
Yeah, right. G-Vac's right there, dude. Say hey, what's up? What's up, G-Vac?
All right. Hey,
yeah,
thanks,
Bob
James.
Wife's in there too.
We'll talk
right,
to you soon, man.
You,
okay, see ya. All right. Hey, we got a 910 area code. I think I just lost the call, though. Call back. The thing about Skype is you only get about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you go straight to voicemail. So give it a try. All right. Well, yeah, G-Vac should have been here tonight. He finked out on us for our recording on Tuesday. And there's that 910 call again. Here we go. You're on Weird Medicine. Good evening.
Hey, Dr. Steve. How's it going?
Good, man. How's it going for you?
I'm doing good. I've spoken with you on Twitter a couple times. This is Logan Field from Wilmington.
Oh, yeah. How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm good. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, absolutely. What can we do for you tonight?
I have a real quick question. I don't know if you've covered this before or not. I travel a lot for my position. I'm a clinical research associate.
Okay.
So I'm sure you're familiar with us guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my question is, I've been experiencing a lot of stress-related, you know, just symptoms from just the travel and the workload and everything from work. And I recently, it was about maybe 7 months ago, I guess, I started breaking out on my forehead and cheeks.
Okay.
And so I went to a dermatologist and checked it out, and they kind of determined that it was a stress-related rosacea.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they started me on doxycycline.
Okay.
And they put me on Metrogel.
Yes.
And it's really been out a lot. A lot of the breakouts have kind of ceased.
Okay.
But is this something that I'm going to have to, is this like for life now? Am I going to have to take this forever?
That's a great question. Here's the problem with rosacea is once you get it, it is very difficult to eradicate it. And the Metrogel will, for the most part, keep it down. The other thing I found that works pretty good for rosacea, because I have rosacea as well, is Provigil. No, not Provigil, Proactive. You know, the zit stuff. If you do the actual process every day, then it'll definitely keep it down, because I have adult acne, which is ridiculous in a 55-year-old to be having zits.
I'm 41.
Oh, it's obnoxious. But then I also started developing rosacea too, and I've used it. And I haven't had any, and I used to use Metrogel as well. But what my experience is that when you stop the medicine, it comes back. Now, if you'll email me at weirdmedicinexm@gmail.com, I'll send you some information on that. Check out the rest of this podcast on part two, Weird Medicine Addendum, August 11th, 2011.